Well, good morning, church. If you would, please open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, as we continue a series that we started several weeks ago called Never Ending, How God's Story Changes Yours, Joshua chapter 1. It's amazing to me and God's providence and leading of our church that months prior when we put this series together, that literally the text that we would study on a week like we've just had is this, Joshua 1, reminding ourselves again the truth that God is always there. And you're going to need that reminder because, frankly, the world is at a standstill. COVID-19 is spreading throughout most of the known world. In Italy, 21,000 people a day are being affected by COVID-19. Spain and most countries in Eastern and Western Europe are literally banning residents from leaving their houses. They're on house arrest, only allowed to leave unless it's an absolute emergency. Our own president, in light of these things and advice from medical officials, has declared a national state of emergency, and consequently, the entire world has been turned upside down. The coronavirus shows no partiality. As the elderly have been affected, heads of state have been affected, prime ministers and their families have been affected, professional athletes have been infected, and even Mr. Rogers got it. Fear of the unknown has caused the cancellation and suspension of the NBA seasons and the NHL seasons and the MLB seasons and the XFL and most every local event. March Madness has turned into March Sadness. As a result, now cricket and bowling are the most popular sports in America. God help us all, right? The stock market has been shaken, though the Dow is up 1,900 points since yesterday. States variously have been issuing restaurants and stores to close. Churches are following suit. Toilet paper is trending on Twitter. And the most popular items in America now, maybe even the most appreciative items in your household, are not your house or your cars or your belongings, but toilet paper, hand sanitation, and bottled water. Even when things happen and we are left speechless, as people of faith, not fear, we have to remind ourselves that God is speaking. And we need to listen. God is for me. Jesus is with me. And the Holy Spirit is in me. And thus, God will always be there. And since the early 1900s, we as people of First Baptist Church of Broken Arrow and now Community Baptist Church in Coweta have believed these things. We have always been by our nature people not of fear but of faith. And in doing so, God has got us through World War I, the Great Depression in the 1920s, World War II in the 1940s, the threat of nuclear war in the 1950s, civil rights tensions in the 50s and the 60s, disco in the 70s, right? This is John Travolta right here doing his thing. Tragically, you've heard a report that he was succumbed to COVID-19, but come to find out after further research, they just found out it was Saturday Night Fever. They ask a statement from his publicist, and he said, no need, he's just staying alive. God has always been there. God was with us in the Great Recessions economically in the early 80s. He was with us at 9/11 in the early 2000s. He's been with us through multiple tornadoes. And we, by God's grace, will get through these viruses. We've already gotten through West Nile, SARS, bird flu, swine flu, Ebola, Zika, H1N1, and now, by God's grace, the coronavirus. We as people of faith, not fear, remind ourselves that our King told us in John 16, verse 33, and in this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. That regardless of what's going on the outside, Paul says in Romans 8:33 that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or even the coronavirus? No. God will always be there. Don't think because problems are present that God is absent. And what I want to do is remind you of that glorious truth from Joshua chapter 1. I want to remind you as you walk out of here and do life that God will always be there. Now, Israel is about to undertake a unique journey as they enter into the land of Canaan in Joshua 1. Centuries of bondage in Egypt and decades of disobedience in the wilderness are about to end. God is at work and about to do a new work through Joshua. And regardless of innumerable challenges, endless obstacles, overwhelming circumstances and expectations, God will always be there for Joshua. And the same God that was with Joshua is always there with you. With that in mind, why don't we study in-depthly this morning Joshua 1, verses 1 through 5. And your Bible says this, "And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. For every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised Moses.'" God will always be there. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and perhaps the most revered figure in the entire Old Testament, has died. It's a significant event in light of God's people. Not lost on Joshua, who as the author of this text mentions the phrase, "Moses, servant of the Lord," 13 separate times. Joshua wasn't just following a leader, but a legend. And now, God's people, they will be led by Moses' assistant. Literally, Joshua, the self-proclaimed assistant to the most revered figure in the entire Old Testament. What are we to do now? The one who gave us the law, the one who freed us, the one who parted the sea is now gone. Yet God reminds us things must move forward. God's people die, but God's purposes never die. God's people will come and go. God's assignment and thus God's mission must still be fulfilled. And so Joshua, from the first verse in this book, sets the standard for which how you and I are to operate. That there will be men and women, boys and girls of favor and talent that God will graciously give us. But ultimately, they will go one way or the other. God's purposes never die. And so now, God will entrust over 2 million people to Moses' assistant. Literally, at the end of verse 1, "one who serves" in the Hebrew. Now think about that for a minute. If we were to give those who know you and love you, who work with you, hang out with you, just one word to describe you, what word would they use? Notice Joshua. Though a man of valor, mighty warrior, tremendous leader, the one word that he wants to describe his life is Moses' assistant, one who serves. In fact, did you realize 4 separate times in the Old Testament, Joshua is listed as a servant? You want to know why? Because if you are truly under God, you will place others above yourself. There is a connection between holiness and giftedness to the Lord. Now, sometimes we get that backwards. We just look at talent, one's abilities and capabilities, and say, oh, yep, truly this is the one set apart to the Lord. Truly this is the leader. This is the one God uses. Often God does not do that. There is a connection between holiness and giftedness. There was a connection between one saying, I will set apart my heart and my mind and thus my life to you, O Lord. And thus God takes that man and woman, that boy and girl, and makes them more like himself. And thus now working through him, he begins to extend his mission by the gifts that he's given them. Gifts you may not even know you have, but God has graciously given to you. Why? Because if you are truly under God, you will place others above yourself. And God works mightily, inexplicably, through men and women, boys and girls who do just that. As a way of life, I desire to follow Jesus, who, as the Bible says in Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Give your life away and see what God does through your life. God will always be there. So we have here literally 2 million people being led by the assistant to the most revered figure in the entire Old Testament. The designation of Joshua as Moses' assistant is really twofold. Number one, Joshua is the same person who ascended the mountain of God and served side by side with Moses in the wilderness wanderings. That God is preparing Joshua today for what he is going to ask of Joshua tomorrow. And he'll do the same thing with you. God is preparing you today for what he asks of you tomorrow. Think about this. Joshua in the Old Testament grew up a slave in Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 17, verse 11. He was born in bondage. He was born being told what to do his entire life. Your abilities don't matter, Joshua. Your giftings don't matter, Joshua. Your dreams have no degree of merit. Joshua, you will be told what to do. And then God frees him miraculously. And now Joshua, for the past 40 years, has been living with being a free man. He can truly appreciate what it means to be everything God has called him to be. The only distraction, the only hindrance, the only thing will impede Joshua's life is Joshua himself. He's a free man. God had been preparing him this entire time to lead his people, to be people not of sight, but by faith and towards promise. God will always be there with you, Joshua. Secondly, Joshua was also an assistant to Moses, according to the Bible in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. He saw God take a common man and do uncommon things. He saw God take a man, a shepherd from Midian, and literally go to the most powerful individual the world had ever known, Pharaoh, and say, "Let my people go." And through miraculous things, plagues, and an exodus, that the only logical explanation is that God himself did this, Joshua had a front row seat of what happens when you truly give all of your life to God. He, by nature, gives all of him to you. And he saw God's people freed. He saw the Red Sea split. He saw God's patience in disobedience, and for 40 years wandering in a wilderness, and he saw God's grace and God's mercy over and over again. And now in a time of mourning, Moses has died. For 30 days, God's people couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't do anything. Now God says, let's go. It's time to move. Because God had been preparing Joshua the entire time. He'll do the exact same thing with you. He's preparing you today for what he asks of you tomorrow. Joshua was also a spy. According to Numbers chapter 13, verse 14, he was one of 12 spies sent to the land of Canaan to scout out the promised land. What people would receive and be a reality for their everyday life. 12 spies were sent, according to Numbers 13 and 14. Only two of the spies came back and said, let's go. Joshua and Caleb. This is a land full of milk and honey. Truly, this is the land of the Lord for us. Let's go. And God was graciously teaching Joshua to live by faith and not by sight, to take in God's word as sure and his promises as true. He was preparing Joshua today for what he was going to ask of him tomorrow. Joshua was also a soldier, according to Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 13. Arguably one of the greatest military strategists we've ever been exposed to in the Old Testament. Probably even a greater warrior than David himself. God, from an early age, was teaching Joshua not just to receive orders, but to execute orders. He was inclining Joshua's mind and his heart to obey and thus be blessed. He was preparing him today for what he was going to ask of him tomorrow. And he'll do the exact same thing with you. When God speaks, is your first reaction to move, to obey? Finally, Joshua was a selfless man in following the Lord, according to Numbers 32, verse 12. He, by his very disposition, never thought of himself. And in even writing this book, is it any wonder then that he said, and Joshua, the mighty warrior of God, Joshua, the freed man of God who will lead 2 million plus people into the promised land, Joshua, the faithful, selfless servant. No, he just says, I'm just a servant. I'm just simply a man who chooses to place others, specifically the Lord, above myself. God will ask you to do the same thing. God is preparing you today for what he asks of you tomorrow. I think secondly, Moses' intentional relationship with Joshua, his investment in Joshua's life, qualified Joshua for the task that was set before him. Benjamin Franklin, one of our greatest founding fathers, said it well when he says, tell me something and I will forget. Show me and I may remember. Involve me and I will learn. In other words, if you want a life that matters, give your life away to things that matter. What is it that God's teaching you right now? What is it that you've seen in your relationship with the Lord over and over and over again that God has been so faithful to bring to life, and how you can use those truths to impact others' lives? Can I tell you that in the craziness of whatever this is we're going through right now, all of the cancellations of all of these sports and recreation, can I tell you that in God's goodness, he's actually giving you back your greatest possession? Time. And what you do with it is frankly your choice. Do I use it for things that don't ultimately matter? Or do I use it as a time and investment, the things that will, for now and forever? What is it that God has placed on your heart that he is desiring you to share with someone else? What would happen if you took, like Moses, an investment into the next generation? Future Joshuas. Men and women, boys and girls, and you said, you know what, we're going to gather around the Word of God weekly. And we're not just going to read this text, we're going to engage this text. Not Bible study, Bible living. And we're going to memorize the Word of God. And we're going to hold each other accountable to the Word of God. And then we're going to go tell others together about the Word of God. Because the Word of God leads us to the God of the Word. You see, Paul says it like this in 2 Timothy 2:2. He says, entrust these things, the gospel, the good news, the realization of the glory of God in you through Jesus Christ. Entrust these things to faithful men and women. And then he lists four generations. You see, who's your Joshua?
Who is it that God keeps placing in your circle, in your sphere of influence, in your path? Who is it that you can begin to intentionally invest in, knowing that God's for you, that God loves you, and that God will always be there for you? I can't help but begin to dream about whose lives will be changed because you live those truths to someone else. Now notice the setting at the end of verse 1, because now the Lord speaks in verse 2. And my servant Moses is dead. Now therefore, arise. Move, Joshua. No longer are you to reflect. No longer are you to allow people to keep looking inward in grief, but now upward and onward with their life. It's almost as if the Lord is casually saying, next, I'm ready to move. It's time to be people, not of sight, but by faith. It's time for you to receive the promise that was destined for you. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. It reminds me of a quote from one of my favorite missionaries and explorers, David Livingstone, when he says, I am prepared to go anywhere as long as it's forward. In church, can I tell you that despite these news blasts over and over and over again, despite reports coming from all around the world, can I tell you that God is still desiring to go forward? God moves in you to move them. Joshua, it is time to take your training. It is time to take your leadership. It is time to take everything up until this point in your life. And now respond, because I'm going to directly speak to you, Joshua, and thus through you. And God desires to do the same with us. God moves in you to move them. What a blessing we have in this time to truly remind ourselves of what ultimately matters in life. What a blessing we have as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, to take intentional time with our babies and grandbabies, nieces and nephews, and in a very clear way remind them that God is still on his throne, that God has spoken, that there is something through this that he's ultimately desired to be glorified in. And ultimately, he's for us and desires to work in us and will always be there for us. And here you have this same God speaking to Joshua that is now imploring us, therefore, arise. God's people will receive the land and the inheritance that God had previously promised to his people before Joshua. It will now be realized through Joshua. God's promises revealed to Abraham and Moses will now be fulfilled through Moses' assistant, the assistant to the most significant figure in the Old Testament, Joshua himself. And God desires to do the unexplainable through us. It reminds me of this great quote from the 19th century preacher Philip Brooks when he says, don't ask for task equal to your powers, but ask for powers equal to your task. What is it that God's calling you to do during this time? What is it that God's asking you to trust him with? What is it that he keeps moving in your heart and your mind to thus move in your life? Trust the Lord. Guard your heart feed your mind and love Jesus like never before. Because God will always be there. And he tells Joshua in verse 3, in every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. God's past blessings are encouragement in present trials and future assignments. Joshua, move. Move with a conviction of mind and a resolve of faith with your heart and a direction of your life. And every soul place where your feet treads, I have already given to you, just as I promised Moses. He was imploring Joshua to move forward by remembering of what took place backwards. Be confident, Joshua. The same God that delivered his people from Pharaoh will deliver you from your enemies. The same God that split the Red Sea and so you could be people that could head to promise will now literally overcome any obstacle or foe or giant so you can receive promise. Joshua, the same words and convictions and truths that I gave the most revered figure in the entire Old Testament in Moses, I now promise to give to you. This isn't just a statement of truth, church. It's a promise. God always keeps his promises. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there for you. And just as God gave this promise to Joshua, who means in his name, Yeshua, the one who saves, God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, at the end of his earthly life, after he had died on a cross, died a death that was meant for us, but was raised victorious for the very thing that was to come each and every one of us could not hold him. And he stands in front of his people in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, and says, all authority, all power has been given to me by the Father. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In verse 20, and I myself will be with you until the end. You see, the same power and presence that was offered to Joshua in Joshua 1 is offered to us through Jesus Christ, God's Son. If God can conquer the greatest foe, the greatest enemy inside of us in our sin, then what can't he do on the outside of us for his glory? If God can smash and defeat through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, once and for all, the virus of sin, can't he then empower us through his presence with any obstacle or foe that faces us in our lives? You see, Joshua was to move forward, not for victory, but from victory. Not for favor, but from God's favor. Not for promise, but from promise. That God made me, and God knows me, and God loves me, and God is for me, and God will always be there for me. Which means then that God's help in your past brings hope to your future.
we can't dream big enough in light of who God is. We can't pray more boldly than what God can bestow upon us. It is people not of fear but of faith, not of sight but of a resolve, that we have a King who is alive and is in control. And regardless of what happens on the outside of us, we can say it is well on the inside. God will always be there. And His help in your past brings hope to your future. Which then must lead to action. For God says in verse 5, "And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." The only man that could stop Joshua was Joshua. The only obstacle that could not be defeated was Joshua himself. It wasn't the men of some pagan tribe. It was the man in the mirror. It wasn't some group or foe or giant, but rather it was the giant of self-centeredness, of an assessment of oneself that Joshua had to see through and trust that God is greater. And the God who knows me and loves me is desiring to work in and through me. And He promises that He will be with me all the days of my life. That there will be nothing that will make Him leave or forsake me. God would not leave, forsake, or abandon His people in any obstacle. His availability and accessibility secured Joshua's invincibility. God assured Joshua that just as He was with Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 3, He would be with Joshua. Just as He is with Jacob in Genesis 31, verse 3, He would be with Joshua. Just as He was with Moses in Exodus 3, verse 12, He would be with Joshua. And the same God that was with Joshua promises to, in Christ, always be with you. This promise is not based upon Joshua's status or performance or even his capabilities, but rather the availability and accessibility of God Himself. And the same God who sits and stands over everything on heaven and earth desires to work in and through you. For He promises Joshua, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Literally in the Hebrew, "I myself am with you. I will never forsake you all the days of your life." In other words, God is not only fighting for you, He desires to fight through you. Don't miss this truth, church. God not only fights for you. You are His. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were chosen, set apart for promise. You are one of His sons and daughters. And He treats you not as some second-class citizen, but rather a daughter and a son of a King. He promises by the very nature of Himself to love you with a love that never ends, protect you with a protection that never ceases, a promise that will live endlessly now and forever. Has no ending, just a beginning. The moment you place your full faith and trust in Him. And He fights for you and desires to fight through you. And we see that through the life of Joshua. Every time that Joshua humbly relied upon God's power and presence, he was granted victory over every obstacle, every challenge, or every giant. Now, when he tried to do it in and of himself, things got really, really bad really, really quickly. But as long as Joshua humbled himself before the Lord, allowed God's power and God's presence to work through Joshua,
any obstacle, any challenge, any giant fell. And the same God who was with Joshua is in Christ with us. And will always be there for us. So may we, as James 4:10 says, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and allow God to lift us up. May we, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:12, may we fight the good fight of faith, knowing that God is fighting for us and desires to fight through us. Therefore, may we be like Paul, who says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor will not be in vain. Why? Because God made you, and God knows you, and God loves you, and God's for you, and He will always be there for you. So as you walk out of here into life, with anything you hear on TV, with any news report, with any struggle of doubt and shame, may you, with the resolve of Christ and the power and presence of God Himself, may you humbly tell whatever it is, whatever obstacle or challenge or giant, you are not God. You are not in control of me. You're not in charge. You do not have permission to decide my destiny. Only God, who knows me and loves me and is for me and is always there for me. So I'm pressing on, friends, because I know how my story God is for me, Jesus is with me, and the Holy Spirit is in me. And now to Him who is able to do abundantly more than what we could ask or think, according to the power and the presence that's within us, for the glory of Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. God will always be there.